Good evening to each one of you. Every one of you is special. I was on an airplane one time, and I was the only person on the airplane that was paying for my ticket. How many of you have ever been on an airplane? How many of you like to fly? How many of you like to be the only person on the airplane? I got special treatment. God has given you special treatment. He loves you. You all are very important. That airplane ride cost a lot of money to Delta to just fly one paying passenger. I got to choose whichever seat I wanted to sit in. Which would have you chosen? I chose the front seat. And then the stewardess says, "What do you want? Do you want anything to eat or drink?" I said, "Yes, I'll take a cup of orange juice." "Is that all?" "Yes, that's all." "Do you want it now or do you want it when we get into the air?" "So I'll take it right now." So she had nothing to do after we taxied out to the runway and went to fly, except to do her thing with the seatbelts and the air things that come down to you, the masks that come down to you. It's all she had to do the whole flight. She sat there and read her newspaper. I was content. But I thought about that. You know, God sent Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, for you and for me, because we're each special. And Delta flew me because I had paid. But I could not have paid the cost of flying that airplane to those two cities, that city. But God made you special, and if you were the only one that would accept Jesus as your Savior, Jesus still would have come and died. But guess what? He died for me, and I've accepted it. Many others in this room have accepted the plan of salvation, and all of us can accept it. It's big enough. His blood is enough for you and for me. Tonight I'm going to talk about God creating us. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, after God got done creating everything in the earth, he decided that he's going to create people. Now, he didn't just decide it then. He decided it before. And so, if you were God and you wanted to create people, how would you create people? You don't all have to answer, but how would you create people? He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, "The animals are to be created." He said, "The stars and the moon and all that is going to be up there in space." And he put them way out there. You know, the other year they took a what would you call it? They sent it up to Mars to land. And it took them from July 30th until, I think it was February, it was 5.5 months for it to go all those miles out there to Mars and to land on Mars. It was a long trip. God created all that. But then he said, "I want to make man. And I want to make woman, and I want them to be on this earth." See, he had you in mind, he had me in mind before he ever created anything. He made it all for us. But yeah, there's more sky than we could ever imagine. See, there's more water in the ocean than we can ever imagine drinking. There's more air in the universe than we ever could imagine breathing. God was extravagant when he made the universe. But then he decided to make you, and you, and me. All of us, people. And instead of saying, "I'm going to say, you are here," he took something that he had made before. He took some dirt. And he said, "I'm going to take some dirt. And I'm going to form this dirt. And I'm going to make it into a person." What do you think he did when he looked at this dirt and he started to think about Adam? He started to think about Eve. And he started to create Adam. And he made Adam in a very special way. He made Adam differently than he made anybody, anything else on this universe. Yes, he had made animals and they were breathing by that time. He had given life. But he decided to make man and woman different than he made the animals. Now, if you look at dirt, you don't see too much good out there, do you? You don't see too much about us. You know, I've looked under my bed already, and there was some dirt, and I figured somebody's either coming, or maybe they're going. Because the Bible tells us that we're going to return to dust. And when somebody dies and they're put in the grave, their body deteriorates and they become dirt again. But God made us special. And it says here that God decided to make us in His likeness. Now, I can't picture exactly what God is like. I don't know whether He's 6 feet tall. I don't know whether He has features exactly like us. No, the Bible says He's a spirit. But He does have a personality. And He is all wise. And He's all knowing. And He said, I'm going to make man like Himself in those ways. And so we have in the Bible where it tells us what God made man like. And He says that He gave him a spirit. And tonight you sang. And you sang out of your spirit. And God made a man and a woman to have a soul. And He said that I want them to be people that have decisions to make and they are able to choose by their will what they're going to do or what they're not going to do. And He made us a body. Now you and I, we have a body and we can touch each other. But we can't touch our spirit with our fingers, or we can't touch our soul with our fingers. But the Bible says that God made us with a spirit and with a soul and with a body. And so you're made up of three parts. I wouldn't want just a body. That's a dead person. I need a soul. And the Bible says that a soul was placed into man. That God breathed into that creation out of this dust. He breathed into a man and made him a living soul. And so we breathe. And we are persons that have qualities like God within our soul. But He also says in the scripture that we have a spirit. So here's the trinity of our makeup that God made. He made us with three parts. And the body is going to die. And that's going to be no more. But the soul is going to live forever. You started because God gave you life. Yes, your parents were to give credit there, but God gave life to them. Adam and Eve on down, life has been passed. God said, let us make man in our image. Let us let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. We have a likeness in that we can think. We have the ability to process information. We have the processes of deciding what we're going to do and why we're going to do it. God has given us a mind, and He has given us a will, and He's given us emotions. You and I have a conscience within inside of us. Have you ever felt like your conscience worked and you felt guilty for something that you did? Yes, I'm raising my hands. I know what it's like to feel guilty about something. And I know what it's like to decide that I'm not going to do that again because my conscience tells me that it was wrong. Well, see, God gave that to us to redirect us. But he also gave us the ability to think and to choose. And it was said already tonight that when we are looking for people to go and serve Jesus and to be in heaven with Jesus, we're looking for people that are willing to choose to serve Jesus. It's not something that we have a chance at. It's something we make a choice for. Now let's go to the plane ticket. When I bought the plane ticket to fly on that flight where I was the only paying passenger, I didn't think, well, maybe I'll get to fly. I thought, I'm certainly going to get to fly. But they could have said, oh, we overbooked the flights, and you just, you know, have to wait around, and maybe you get a chance at flying. If somebody doesn't show up, that's not the way it is with Jesus. Jesus said, if you repent of your sins, if you use your mind and think about us being sinners and needing a Savior and needing God, and we repent of our sins, then he says, I will forgive you. And then we have the certainty of being in a relationship with him, and we desire to live as he asks us to live. This Bible is full of instructions for us, and we need to know what the instructions are for life. He told Adam and Eve, he says, I don't want you to eat of the fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that. But guess what? They were tempted to eat of that. And they did eat of that. We don't know what that fruit was. We don't know if it was an apple or if it was an orange or a pear. We don't know what it was that attracted them. But it says something attracted them. And they used their mind and their will. And they decided that they're going to sin against God. They didn't think it would hurt anything. We have free choice. I believe we have a mind so that we can know God. We don't know everything about God, but we know something about God. I believe we have a will so that we can choose to serve God. And I believe we have emotions so that we can love God. We have the privilege of loving a lot of different things. You are here tonight because you know you're going to get some teaching, and that there is something important for your life that will be presented here. If you value your life, if you value your soul, you will value coming to God and accepting him as your Lord and your Savior. God made us for relationship with other people, and I put that in the realm of the Spirit. God intended for us to relate to each other. We are people who need others, and we need God. We are lonely at times. I don't think I'd like to go out in the woods and just live in a treehouse for 6 months. Would anyone like to do that? No? I might do it for a couple days, but I don't think I'd like to do it for 6 months. We need people in our life. God made us for relationship to do things with. Is it any fun to play baseball by yourself? Not too long, a little bit. It's nice to have some friends over to play baseball, isn't it? Yeah, it's nice to be able to relate to each other. And so God made us with that desire for relationship, and that's within our spirit. Yeah, there's many things that we have in our body. We have our senses. We can smell. What's the worst smell that you know of? What is it? How about a rotten egg? Maybe you never smell a rotten egg. What was that? The rotten egg smells bad. You know about that. What's somebody else's? What do you think smells bad?
Burning sulfur.
Burning sulfur? Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think smells bad?
dog poop, especially on your shoe. When you're going around, you can't get rid of it. Felt like a man had Limburger cheese under his nose. Where is that stink coming from? Somebody put it on him when he was sleeping.
Stinks all over here, he said. One more. Olivia. Okay. All right. So we all have things that we know that smell bad. Now, what are some things that smell good? Aren't you thankful that God has given some things that smell good? Yes, back here, Christian.
Cheeseburgers.
They don't get us hungry here. Yes.
Gasoline.
What is it?
Gasoline.
I don't understand. Sorry. Gasoline. You like the smell of gasoline? Be careful with that. Back here. What is it?
Diesel.
Diesel? Like the smell of diesel? Do you have a dad who has a diesel truck and likes it? Yeah.
But there's things that smell good. How about the flowers that are coming up right now? How about the flowers that are going to smell good shortly? Yeah. We have things that smell really good. Why do you wear perfume? Because you want to smell good, ladies. Right? You wear perfume because you want to smell good. You don't want to stink. God gave us the ability in our body to enjoy those kinds of things. God made us with that sensitivity. We have hearing. My hearing isn't quite as good as it used to be. Obvious here tonight, right? But I'm thankful for hearing. I'm thankful for the opportunity to hear the birds sing. The ability to hear people singing. What a privilege it is to have hearing. We had a man who worked on our carpenter crew, and he couldn't hear. But he would drive the skid steer, if you know what a skid steer is. Do you know what Dale's skid steer looks like? Did he push the snow with? Okay? Yeah? He'd drive the skid steer, and he'd be on the carpentry crew, and he'd be putting trusses up on there, on the end of the skid steer, boom. And we saw him looking at us, and we'd wave at him, and then he'd move it the way it was supposed to be moved. But he couldn't hear. I thought he was at a great disadvantage, but his eyes were really sharp. He was really alert. And then God's given us all eyes. At least all of you are looking this way, right? You all have eyes, and it's amazing how God has made our body. Our body didn't just happen. God made it. We need to take care of our body. We need to remember that we only have one body. And if we misuse it, God is going to... our life's going to be shortened. If we misuse it, there's going to be disaster for certain parts of our functions. And so we take care of our body. God has given us the desire to be able to walk and to feel and to touch and all of that. So we have the things of touch and smell and seeing and hearing and tasting. We sometimes taste sweet things. Sometimes we taste bitter things. God gave us all those things. He made us to appreciate things that He has put here in this earth to remind us of who He is and what He's created, the variety that He's given to us. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." But guess what has happened? What has happened is that sin has come into our life. And when sin has come into our life, it has taken away our likeness of God. And so now here we are. We're not quite like we were supposed to be because of sin in the human race. Not just because of your fault, but because of the human race. Sin has come in and it has made us so that we are not exactly like God intended us to be. Our actions aren't exactly like God wants them to be sometimes. Sometimes we get angry. Or sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. What does God say? He wants us to put Jesus into our heart so that Jesus can help us to become like we were supposed to be. To change us into the image of Jesus. And that's a lifelong process. I'm much older than some of you young people. But guess what? God's still changing me. He's still reminding me, Dale, there's some things in your life still need to be changed. And someday I'm going to turn back into dirt. But my soul is not going to die. And someday that soul is going to be in heaven. If I'm faithful to the Lord, it's going to be there. God made us in His image with a spirit, a soul, and a body because He wants that relationship with Him. And when I let Jesus come into my heart, I will do what He wants me to do. The Bible says, do everything you can to keep your soul where it's supposed to be. The Bible says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Don't give anything in exchange for your soul. Your soul is the most important part that we're talking about here today. I don't want to see any of you fall away from an open spirit that listens to the teachings of God's Word. We are living in a broken world. And in a broken world, there are people that are doing all kinds of things that are against God. You can't afford that for the sake of your soul. There are people that are taking their body and they're doing things that they shouldn't do with their body. They are looking at whether they should be a transgender or whether they should be a furry or whether they should be homosexual. No, 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 no. That is not what our body is for. Our body is to represent God to a world. It's through our body that we do those things that point people to understand there is a God. Every one of us has the privilege of saying, yes, I want to be like that, or no, I'm going to do my own thing. Tonight, we have a choice. And that choice is whether we're going to serve God with the body He's given us, with the spirit He's given us, whether we're going to guard our soul, or whether we're going to say, I don't care. Well, we might not care now, but someday we will care. Someday we will stand before God and He will hold us accountable for what we do, what we say, whether we rejected Jesus or whether we accept Him as Savior in our life. How many of you would have liked to have been on that airplane with me that day? There were 50-some seats on that. Not all of us quite could have gone, but most of us could have been on that plane. Wouldn't it have been fun? Yeah. Delta paid the bill to fly that airplane. Jesus paid the bill for us to go to heaven. I went to the man at the airport and asked, I said, if I'm the only one, can I sit in first class? Do you know what first class is? It means the good seats. They said, well, I'm sorry, sir, this plane is small enough, it doesn't have first class, but you can sit wherever you want to. That's why I sat in the front seat, okay? But someday we're going to fly first class. Someday we're going to glory. We're going to be with Jesus. We're going to stand before Jesus. And we're going to give an account of our life, whether we've served Him, whether we've let the blood of Jesus cleanse us. I don't know how it cleanses us, but the Bible says it does. I don't know how this water quenches my thirst, but I know it does. Jesus said, for our sin, there needs to be death. And death is something that Jesus was willing to do for you and for me. The longer we serve God, the more we should be in His likeness, in our actions, in our thoughts, and in our words. Can we quietly, very quietly, stand and pray together? Let's stand. God, we realize You're looking down on us, and You see whether our eyes are closed and whether we're quiet before You. And right now, we realize that You took dirt and You made the first man. You then took a rib out of Adam and made the first woman. And You've created us male and female. And I pray that every male would accept being a male. And every female would accept being a female. That they would choose to live for You. God, I pray that when Your Spirit speaks to their hearts, that they would accept you as Lord of their life. Forgive us where we have failed you. We desire to be in relationship with you and to become more like you each day. Bless each person tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody said, amen. Okay, you may be